In his TEDx talk, Peter Gray clearly argues that today's kids need more time playing. This truth has inspired us, the Bedley Brothers, to start an annual event called Global School Play Day. Our vision is to raise awareness with everyone in America and other play-deprived nations that kids need the opportunity to play more. The first Wednesday of every February will become Global School Play Day. Schools all over the world will encourage and give students a day to just play. Our hope is that this one day of play will inspire many, many other days of play. Today, we have the privilege of talking with the man who started a movement.
And now it's time for another edutaining episode of the Bedley Brothers Ed Chat. Committed to bringing you the most current and relevant topics and guests in the world of education, here are your hosts, Scott and Tim Bedley.
Bedley Brothers, Bedley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bedley Brothers, yep. Bedley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Yep. First name Bedley, last name Brothers.
We are very excited to welcome Dr. Peter Gray. He's a professor at Boston College. He's the author of Free to Learn, Why Unleashing the Instinct to Play Will Make Our Children Happier, More Self-Reliant, and Better Students for Life. Dr. Gray, thank you so much for being here today.
I'm delighted to be here.
Would you just start us off today by kind of giving us a background on the importance of play in a child's life?
You know, children are biologically designed to learn through play. They're biologically designed to explore the world in their play, to learn how to connect with other people, learn how to negotiate differences in their play. Children, when they're free to play, play in risky ways, is learning how to deal with a certain degree of fear, how to manage fear. Children play in creative ways, is how they learn to think creatively. You know, we think of education today as schooling, and schooling is valuable in our culture today. There are certain things, reading, writing, arithmetic, that's important to learn. But you know, there are real lessons that children everywhere have to learn that absolutely cannot be taught in school. And these are lessons that have to do with social development, emotional development, the development of creativity. You can talk about these things, but you can't really teach these things in school in a way that children learn them. Children are biologically designed to learn them in play. And when we deprive children of play, as we currently do in our culture, more so than children have ever been deprived of play in the past, except at times of slavery or at times of intensive child labor, then we deprive them of the opportunity to learn these things.
Can you talk a little bit about the decline of play that you specified in your TED talk that has gone on since the 1950s?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm old enough that I've seen this in my lifetime. I was a kid in the 1950s, so I've seen this. But it's also been documented by historians, by social scientists. This is not just my impression. But in the 1950s, kids were outdoors playing all the time, just as they are in traditional societies, just as they are in hunter-gatherer societies. We had school, but school was not the big deal that it is today. It wasn't as many weeks of the year. It wasn't as many hours of the day, and we didn't have homework in elementary school. We were outdoors playing after school until dark, all weekend long, all summer long. We didn't have, well, there were some adult-directed sports, but it was a very insignificant part of most children's lives. Most of us were playing with other kids without adult direction, and that's the way kids have always played. Now, over the years, we adults have taken over children's lives. We have taken them over by expanding the influence of schooling, by expanding the idea that children only develop best when adults are guiding them and telling them what to do and solving their problems for them and so on and so forth, with the result that children are not playing as they did before. And it's been a gradual change, really beginning with about the mid-1950s. Historians have documented that it's been a gradual decline ever since the 1950s until today. And over that 60-year period, it's a huge decline. Children have far, far less opportunity and time to play than they did in the 1950s. It's not just time, it's opportunity, because we're not providing the supervised playgrounds that we used to. We're not trusting kids to go out and play on their own as we used to. There's a variety of reasons for this change, but these are all problems that are solvable. They're completely solvable as soon as we recognize that play is really essential for children. Now, the other thing that I've documented is over this same period of time, this 60-year period, that there's been a continuous decline in play, there's been a continuous increase in all sorts of mental disorders in childhood. Increased depression among children and adolescents, increased anxiety, increased suicide. The rate of suicide among children age 15 and younger is four times today what it was in the 1950s. This is a correlation. It doesn't automatically prove cause and effect, but in my book and in my journal articles, I've presented a wide number of reasons for thinking that there is a cause-effect relationship. When children are not playing, they're not learning the social and emotional self-control skills that are necessary to be emotionally resistant and not to become depressed, not to become overly anxious, not to become suicidal.
Now, our plan is to just encourage awareness about what you're discussing right now and get kids, give them the gift of play back, you know, to this generation. And we're going to have a day of play in the classroom. Do you have any suggestions for a teacher? I mean, do we just let them play? Do we have them bring blocks in and Legos and things? I have talked to a couple of people that are like, well, we're just going to turn this into the Lord of the Flies, and the kids are going to bully each other, and they're going to start beating each other up, and, you know, the survival of the fittest and everything amongst the kids. So how much intervention would we have in a situation where there's, you know, picking on and things like that? And how would we run a day like this?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think it's a question that I don't want to give any kind of glib answer to. I think it's, you know, I would almost suggest that each teacher talk to the kids in advance about this. What do they think would work? How do they feel that it would be structured? I have seen situations, you know, we do have this problem that a lot of kids are not used to playing. They're used to being adult supervised all the time. And even though it's natural for kids to play, and to figure out how to get along with one another. If you take a bunch of kids, maybe who've reached a certain age and they've really never had the opportunity to do this, they don't necessarily automatically know how to do it. They aren't used to creating their own games. They're used to looking to adults to tell them what to do, adults to solve their problems. So it's possible that you'd need a little scaffolding here, that, you know, you'd need to, like, one possibility I could picture would be, look, go outdoors and maybe offer two or three examples of some of the old-fashioned games that kids always used to play. And if the kids don't know how to do them, teach them how to do it and say, you know, this is something you could do. Try it out, you know, whether it's dodgeball or whatever the heck the game is. Another possibility, if it's in the classroom, yeah, just bring a bunch of stuff or let them bring their own things. Maybe discourage the kinds of things that would be solitary play, like just playing on your own computer, your own cell phone kind of play. I'm not against cell phone play, but this is probably not the kind of play that you want to try to foster, and you want to foster something that's more social and physically direct. So I think that bringing the kids of whatever age they are into some preliminary discussion about what is it you'd really like to do? How should we handle this? This is your day. But to emphasize, you want it to really be your day. You don't want to micromanage them. You don't want to tell them what to do. You don't want to be the director of the play. You don't want to be the referee, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, one idea I had too, relating to that day of play, the Global School Play Day, is that after the kids play, I love your idea, by the way. You know, you front load them, you scaffold it. I'm thinking, too, to reflect with the kids. After they play for, say, an hour, spend some time as a class sitting down and just letting them talk to each other. You may be facilitating the discussion to a certain degree, to a lesser degree as much as possible,
right.
And then asking the kids, how did that go for you? Is there anything that's bothering you? Did you enjoy it? And let them reflect on it and then say, okay, keep going, play some more.
Right. Yeah, that seems like a good idea. You know, I think that each teacher will probably have a sense of the kids in their own classrooms. For example, if they've observed recess, how does recess go? You know, if they've observed kids playing in your group. I know that in the Boston area, they've had problems with, first of all, they've almost totally taken recess away. They have 15 minutes of recess. It's not enough time to get anything started. So the kids go out there and they get into a fight, and then people say, why should we even have recess at all? So I think you have to recognize that, and I think it's terrific. You're devoting a whole day to play. That doesn't mean that every one of those minutes has to work really well. There may be problems. There may be problems to the degree that the kids can solve the problems themselves. That's what should happen. I think the main, you know, the essence of play is that it's self-directed by the players. When adults take control of it, when adults solve the problems, then it's no longer play. And all those things that I said are learned in play, the social skills, the taking control skills, the negotiation skills, the emotional skills, those get lost when adults do the directing and solve the problems.
Definitely.
Well, Dr. Gray, it has been a true pleasure. This show goes really fast. It's really just meant to steer our audience and the listeners to find you and learn more about this really important topic that is impacting kids across the world. And especially we see a lot of that here being from America. We see that a lot of happening here in the United States. So, Dr. Gray, is there any like last kind of like encouragements that you can give to the teachers out there who might be listening to this on why they should maybe step up and participate, the value of this beyond, you know, for giving up a day of instruction that they probably hold really dearly to, but that one day and just that value of giving that up?
You know, that day of instruction, that's a drop in the bucket. You're not going to lose anything by throwing away one day of instruction out of all of those days. And think what you might gain. I mean, the students, first of all, this is going to be something different. This is going to be something they'll remember. This is going to be something they'll thank you for. And it's not just that you're giving them a day of play. You're really validating the value of their own self-chosen activities. Ideally, what this is going to do is lead them to reflect on the notion that the things that they do in their own, on their own steam, in their own initiative, in their own creative ways, these are every bit as important, if not more important, than the things they do in response to what the teacher tells them to do. That's really what play is. You know, our students today are going out into the world where you almost have to be an innovator. You have to be creative. You have to know how to roll with the punches, how to solve new problems. We don't need people who can solve old problems. We don't need people who know the answers to already answered questions. We've got search engines for that, right? We need people who can think creatively, and you can't teach that. You really can't teach that. You can set up conditions in which people help learn it, but the primary way children learn this is through play. And if by doing this you're encouraging children to play and, most important, encouraging their parents to recognize the importance of play and to allow their kids to play and not just put their kids into adult-directed activities all the time, but figure out ways to allow their kids to really play with other kids, to play freely, you'd be doing just a marvelous service.
Wow. I'm inspired.
Yeah, for sure.
I could talk to you all day. This is great.
Dr. Gray, where can people learn more about you besides getting a copy of your book, Free to Learn?
Well, there's a number of ways. I do a blog for Psychology Today. You can easily find it. Just Google Psychology Today, Peter Gray. The blog is called Free to Learn. It's really all about how children learn through exploration and play. So that's That's probably the best way, aside from my book. I've written quite a number of academic articles, and I refer to those in my book and refer to them in various of my blog posts. So there's a lot of ways to connect with my work. And you would find through that way other work by other people who are also documenting the critical importance of play in children's development.
We should be selling it. Well, thank you again, and we really appreciate it, and look forward to hopefully connecting with you again sometime.
Okay,
thank you, Dr. Gray.
I'm hoping this becomes an annual event, and that every time you do it, there's a larger percentage of teachers and schools participating.
We're with you on that. and thanks for watching, Mom and Dad.
Thanks, Mom and Dad.
Change my name to so I could be one of those Bedley brothers. Yeah. Bedley brothers, Bedley, Bedley brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bedley brothers, Bedley, Bedley brothers.